Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
There's so much that we could reflect upon in this gospel today, and it's a little difficult to know where to begin. But I think we want to see it as there being more than just one exorcism taking place here in this story. And it's helpful, I think, to understand its context. Jesus and the disciples had just traveled across the Sea of Galilee when a storm arose, and being threatened with being drowned, the disciples panicked and they rebuked the Lord who was sleeping in the bow of the boat. "Don't you care if we are about to die?" And he wakes up and he rebukes them for their lack of faith. And with one word, he stills the waters and the wind, silent. Our Lord was seeking to exorcise from them all fear and anxiety, to reveal to their hearts who he truly was, the Lord of love and the governor of life, one who had power over creation itself. And despite all that they had seen, the miracles, the multiplication of the loaves, when their life was on the line, they panicked. And so he must rid their hearts of this fear. Once they reached the shore, though, he takes them east of the Sea of Galilee to a land called Gadara. It was a pagan town at that point. And this is why we hear of swine herding. It would have been abhorrent to the Jews to have such work. And so Jesus takes them out of the storm into something far more terrible. He takes them to the rock tombs, where two men were being held chained because they were possessed by demons. We don't hear a peep out of the apostles in this gospel passage, but we know they are there with the Lord. And terrified, he wants them to watch him. And once again, our Lord responds very peacefully, no fear within him. All are attracted to him in one way or another. The poor, the lame, the blind, those with leprosy, those who had loved ones die, all running to him seeking healing. But the demons too run towards him, but not for help. They shriek, we are told, when he approaches. And they tell him, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" Jesus would not engage them. But all time is the time of the Lord. Anything that afflicts or affects us, he is going to seek to heal. And once again, with a single word, he says, "Go." And immediately the demons are cast out. What is interesting about this, though, and I think most fascinating about the passage, is not the disciples' reactions or even the casting out of these two demons into the swine, but rather the townspeople who come out, and when they witness what our Lord had done, they beg him, they tell him to leave their neighborhood. It's an extraordinary thing. But it would be easy for us to self-righteously say, imagine people so dumb, so blind, that they would order Jesus to leave their town. But is it really hard, all that hard, for us to imagine it? Is the picture of people begging Jesus to keep out of their lives utterly a strange one to us? What makes this gospel so intriguing is that it reflects the inner struggle that goes in and on our hearts from moment to moment and in our minds. The Gadarenes resented Jesus as a disturber, as an upsetter of the peace. He was exactly what Simeon the prophet called him when he was a little child in the temple. He's destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel. He will be the divine disturber. And the Gadarenes saw this. They had grown comfortable and familiar with the demented in their midst. And they manage very well with the two demoniacs exiled to the rock tombs. They fear change more than they feared demons. In effect, they said to Jesus, "Your power is too intrusive, it's too unsettling, more unsettling than the demons that have been silenced. Get out, go, leave us." Think about it for a moment. They used the very same word that Jesus used in casting out the demons. They tell our Lord, "Go, get out, leave us," as if he himself were the problem. Most often, we don't use such direct and brutal language as this in our day-to-day life. But our response may mimic that of the Gadarene citizens. We don't want Jesus in our lives because at first his presence is too disturbing. In fact, our response may be much more like that of the demoniacs themselves. When confronted with Jesus and his teaching, we say deep within ourselves, "What have you to do with me, Jesus of Nazareth? Get back to Palestine, get back to wherever you're from, but leave us alone. Stay out of my affairs. What I do is no concern of yours. My behavior, my use of things in this world, my moral life, the state of my heart is none of your business." All of this shows us the troublesome aspect of the word of Jesus within our lives. His word throws us out of ourselves. He doesn't allow us to rest in the sin in which we have become all too comfortable in our day-to-day life. We will experience, at least initially, that his word communicates to us very little in the way of comfort. It will seem to be the exiling agent of the self, just as it seemed to the demons and the men in the gospel. But in all this, God and his love is calling us to enter into his rest precisely by going out of our own. This is what happens every time we gather here, not only when we hear the word of God proclaimed, but when we receive the word of God made flesh in the Holy Eucharist. He enters into our hearts, into our very bodies for one thing, to cast out anything that is an impediment to our experiencing the fullness of his life and love. Anything that afflicts us, affects us, he is going to work to cast out and heal. Let's pray today that as we gather before this holy altar and as we receive him, we would open our minds and our hearts with trust and love. Glory to Jesus Christ.